This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Before we get to the wall of sound, and then we're going to talk with Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated. He covers soccer and the men's national team. We'll play a friendly tonight against Morocco. Dennis has wagered on the U.S. plus 110 to beat Morocco. I'll be watching this. I love watching the men's national team. It's probably be about one-third of the squad, maybe a little bit more, maybe 40% of the squad that we are likely to see at the World Cup. We will see Christian Pulisic. We will see Brandon Aaronson, Walker Zimmerman, but I don't know how many others. I think we'll see Jedi.
Wait, his name's Jedi?
Well,
Obi-Wan.
Anfernee.
Oh.
I'm sorry. So many names running. Not Penny Hardaway. So many names running through Robinson. Jedi Robinson plays left back.
It's a great name.
So it is a great. You know, I don't even know how it happened, but he's Jedi. So we will see some of the players who will be most likely featured as first-choice players for the U.S. when they get to the World Cup in November. But it's a lot of guys who are really new into the system that we're going to see tonight. Well, so we'll talk to Brian Strauss about that. And then Eric Compton, who's playing at the Rex Hospital Open up at Wakefield Country Club in North Raleigh. He is here. Corn Ferry Tour is in Raleigh this week. So we'll talk to Eric Compton, who's got a great story for those people who don't know. Two-time heart transplant recipient playing on the PGA Tour. Well, Corn Ferry Tour, but spent about 4 or 5 years on the PGA Tour. Actually finished second at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst back in 2014. So this state has given him good vibes. Anyway, we'll talk to him in a little bit. Real quick to do Dustin Johnson. If you are just tuning in, yesterday the LIV Golf Series announced their field. It's not a complete field. 42 of 48 players that will play in the inaugural Bonesaw Invitational in the LIV Golf Series. That's next week in London. And it was announced that Dustin Johnson is part of the field. I mentioned this earlier. Dustin Johnson's one of his sponsors, Royal Bank of Canada, RBC, is the title sponsor of next week's PGA Tour stop, the Canadian Open. Well, Dustin Johnson, I also mentioned that Graham McDowell is in the field, and McDowell was also an RBC golfer. They've got about 9 or 10 golfers that they sponsor. And McDowell is part of that group. Well, they were both fired by RBC. How big a deal is this? It's really just a big deal to Dustin Johnson and Graham McDowell, but obviously not enough of a big deal for them to not play in this event. And here's why it's not a big deal. I can guarantee you this. Dustin Johnson did not make $125 million from RBC in Canada. And that's his contract with LIV Golf. He's going to play the series. That means all 8. And Dustin Johnson's going to make $125 million to do so. And that's why I said earlier that this series, there is no reality. It's not based on anything. The Saudi royal family has endless money. Endless. PGA Tour cannot compete financially with what Dustin Johnson is going to make. $125 million. Yes. There you go. What will happen now
is that a year or is that over a length of 5?
I believe it's a year.
Goodness.
Because Dustin Johnson is going to sacrifice probably all other outside money.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson sponsors, like rats off a ship, vacated him. The same will happen to Dustin Johnson. But it won't matter when you're making $125 million to play eight events with no cut. So, this is my point earlier. If I were Jay Monahan, I would be nervous, and this becomes very simple. It becomes very simple. You have essentially forfeited your PGA Tour membership. You no longer remember the PGA Tour. End of discussion. That's the way, if I'm Jay Monahan, that's the way it has to be. Otherwise, you know, half of the top 50 players in the world are going to go play this because the money is astronomical. And again, I said this in my Twitter thread earlier today. A lot of players won't care or believe that the general public doesn't care where the money comes from. But if the money, if you said this, if we substitute the Saudi royal family, we get rid of that, scratch that out, and write South American drug cartel, would it change people's minds? Mm-hmm. That's my question. If this were underwritten by Coca-Cola, that would be one thing. Then it would be a viable option because there would not be anything attached to this. But it's not. Not to mention, it's also not based in any economic reality. None. They don't care. They don't have a television contract. Dustin Johnson just going into London to play golf for 3 days. All right. There you go. Time for that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
And this has been Greg Norman's obsession for 30 years. I don't know about destroy the PGA Tour, but to exact a pound of flesh. Been saying it as when he became attached to this, I'm like, oh, of course. Of course. This is a revenge tour. Greg Norman might end up winning this.
The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
All right, there's a lot to do. We have Brian Strauss coming up in a couple of minutes, so we don't have a lot of time. So, do you ever listen, Dennis, to the Draymond Green podcast?
I catch some clips here and there. They're actually very good because it's part of Volume, I believe. So they post stuff on Instagram and Twitter a lot. So I do catch some of his stuff. I do.
I am a huge fan of Draymond Green's podcast. Mm-hmm. He drones on and on about something a little bit too long, but we all do. Heck, I'm sure there are people in the car going, will Gold shut up about the LIV golf tour already? to me, it's a big story. So yesterday, the latest episode is actually a mashup, if you will, between Draymond Green and Colin Cowherd's podcast.
Yeah.
I believe they just basically appeared. They just joined podcasts.
Well, it's under his network, I believe.
It's under the Colin Cowherd network?
Volume is Cowherd's network.
All right, well, that's it. I didn't know that.
Okay.
Because it's always under the Draymond Green show. And this one was the Colin Cowherd show that also appeared in Draymond Green's feed. So anyway, this is Green talking about KD, Kevin Durant, and Steph Curry.
Kevin Durant was absolutely incredible in those finals runs. As you know, right. You watched it. We all watched it. Kevin Durant was absolutely insane. Steph Curry got double teamed probably seven times the amount that KD did in a given series.
Okay. Kevin Durant disagreed with that on Twitter. I don't know what the end result is of that conversation. Seven times is probably a lot. I'll just say that I think that's probably an exaggeration. Wouldn't surprise me if it was more than Kevin Durant, but I think seven times is an exaggeration. So if Kevin Durant was, if Steph Curry was double teamed 25 times, Kevin Durant was only double teamed what? Three times?
Mm-hmm.
Four, maybe between three and four times. I don't find that to be logical. But the podcast did go on to talk about what Curry has meant to the Warriors. And it speaks to what we've been talking about for a few days, which is, why do we have to do the silly and rank Durant versus Steph and simply say what we're finding out is that, especially with the lack of team success for Durant since leaving Golden State, and there are circumstances around that, that maybe the Warriors really have been about Steph along with Klay and Draymond as the core, and that what Durant was an embarrassment of riches. They won a title with Harrison Barnes. Had they decided to keep Harrison Barnes, they probably would have won titles with that core. But they saw the opportunity to upgrade Harrison Barnes into Kevin Durant. And who among us, if you could afford that, wouldn't have done it? So that's, to me, where the conversation probably needed to go. But we do silly things like ranking Steph Curry and Kevin Durant. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. When we come back, men's national team plays tonight in Ohio, Cincinnati or Columbus. Not even sure. And we'll talk to Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated. He's on site. It's sort of a fact-finding mission for Greg Berhalter. We'll talk to Brian Strauss about it next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it any time. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you, your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
The United States is qualified for the World Cup. That's a big deal. Now all we have to do is wait, I don't know, 6 months to actually play it. In Qatar, Brian Strauss, Sports Illustrated, covers the men's national team, covers the sport of soccer. We got a lot of stuff to discuss. He joins us from Columbus as the U.S. is going to set to play Morocco in a friendly tonight. 7 o'clock, I believe, on ESPN2. We're a long way. There aren't that many of these matches left. Greg Berhalter has what, like 4 in this window and then 2 more in Europe in September, and that's it to get ready for this.
It's a long time, but it's a short time, right? It's 6 months or so, but like you said, it's 6 games. Actually, we're in Cincinnati.
Columbus? My fault.
One of three. Well, because Ohio's got 3 cities and they all start with C, and then I guess you throw Canton in there. Fame, and it's I get puzzled too. and they're now both on the the Columbus is the traditional national team sort of home base. So anyway, but yes, I came to the right place. I'm in Cincinnati, but it's a deceptive amount of time and deceptive kind of calendar because, you've got these 4 games over the next 2 weeks. Then there's 2 more in September, and then that's it. And it's not like the whole team's together for these 4 games, right? You've got a lot of guys who are out, some guys who are injured, some guys who are resting, guys who are missing for different reasons. So you're not going to – this is not like a dress rehearsal for the World Cup team because we still don't know who's going to be on it.
Right, and we're such a long way away, and we're missing, as you said, Serginho Dest is not there, Gio Reyna is not there, Miles Robinson not there, and I think anybody that has studied and watched the qualifying process, you have to believe that those 3 guys, if they're not part of the the first choice group, a guy like Reyna is certainly in the mix to be a starter. Destin Miles Robinson seem to be locks, although Robinson would be a lock, except the Achilles injury
that he
suffered. So there are some things that we're going to have to piece through here. So what can we learn about the men's national team based on what happens tonight in Ohio and then in Kansas City on Sunday against Uruguay?
I think there was some hope that a striker, a number nine, a finisher, you know, someone might sort of get into a groove and find a stake a claim to that spot. But that position, like any sort of, you know, finishing position, same is true in hockey, like, you know, your form can come and go. So just because a guy, you know, hits a vein of form now doesn't mean it's going to be there in November. But Jesus Ferreira from SC Dallas is going to get the start tonight. He'll get a shot. Otherwise, I think you're looking at some of the guys who are benefiting from some of those absences and have gotten a call up. You know, that there is precedent in American soccer history for this, you know, 5 or 6 months out from a World Cup, someone just kind of coming from nowhere and really establishing himself and making the team. You know, so you've got, you know, Malik Tillman, who just filed a switch from Germany. He's a Bayern Munich player and midfielder. Haji Wright, who is a striker, who was bouncing around Europe and finally wound up in Turkey and started scoring goals. A couple center backs, Cameron Carter-Vickers and Eric Palmer-Brown, who have a chance maybe to fill in for that spot vacated by Robinson. So I think there's some intrigue around players like that. And then there's a lot of these other guys, Pulisic and McKenney and Aronson, who they're on the team. You know, Tim Weah, you know, they're on the team. And you just kind of hope that they – you know, they get together, they gel, they enjoy their time, they play a couple games, and then they get some rest over the summer.
All right, we'll talk about Weston McKennie in a second, and I think Greg Berhalter said, the coach, that he would get McKennie in about 20 minutes, and that by the end of this window, he hopes that McKennie will be able to go the full 90. That's pretty quick to go from 20 to 90 in 2 weeks, but we'll see. Brian,
Let me tell you how much energy that guy has. So the last 2 days, here in Cincinnati, we were doing kind of these round tables with all the players, every player available, right?
Wow.
He comes in 15, 20, 25 minutes, all the journalists that are here asking questions. And like, this is our chance to talk to these guys before they disperse for the summer, before we go to Qatar. McKennie was so amped that he was like bouncing around the room, pretending to be a reporter. And he was sitting in another guy's round tables and asking questions. And he did it to 3 or 4 different people. Like you can't contain the energy coming from this man. And so he's ready. Like he's an effervescent, you know, so it was just pretty funny kind of watching him kind of do his shtick.
Is he their best player?
He was, I think, when he got hurt.
Right.
That's an interesting question, right? I mean, he was the most effective player for this team, I would put it that way, before he broke his foot. He is just such a force. He is such a two-way offensive, defensive, he gets involved, he tackles, he harasses, he wins the ball, he penetrates, he knows how to just pop up in the penalty area and get a shot on goal. He scored against Mexico. He's deadly on set pieces. He can just do more things than anyone else on the team. And so when he's plugged in, he can be the most impactful player.
Well, we're talking Brian Strauss of Sports Illustrated. Men will take on Morocco tonight in a friendly men's national team, trying to just kind of stay together until we get to the toward the end of November in Qatar. Christian Pulisic went through a time where he wasn't really part of the mix at Chelsea, but at the end of the season he was, and he was effective. How much do we carry over what he did toward the end of the season at Chelsea and what he might be to the men's national team?
He's a tough guy to read, but I'm going to guess, right, after sort of a bunch of camps and the whole qualifying process. He seemed to be in a good mood yesterday, first of all, when he spent some time answering our dumb questions. He loves being on the national team. Like he legitimately, this is his favorite thing to do, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And he loves being around this group. He's energized by it. He gets confidence from it. And I really think that he is getting better about turning the page when he comes into this setting and environment, where he's supported, where he's appreciated, where he's, you know, everyone has faith in him. And I think that, you know, he's not thrilled with the situation at Chelsea. Everyone knows it. Right. He would not commit his future to Chelsea yesterday when he was asked about it, although he did say he met some of the new owners and sort of enjoyed interacting with them and you know, had a good impression. But I think there's something about this group and this environment where he's able to sort of push some of that frustration aside and flourish. And so I don't think it's going to be I don't think that's going to be an issue, but it has been a very long, emotional, taxing season, a ton of ups and downs from winning the Club World Cup to getting benched and back and forth. And I think he probably does need a break. So I think that'll be, you know, he's probably mentally and physically somewhat tired, but I don't think his confidence or enthusiasm has waned at all.
I could ask you 1,000 questions, really just about Christian Pulisic, but we don't have time for all of that. And there's so many other things I want to get to, and we won't have time for most of those. But I am curious about this, Brian Strauss. We know Zach Steffen had some personal issues, so he is not with this group. And Matt Turner was named the starter for tonight, I believe. Turner is right now playing with the New England Revolution, but is going to go to Arsenal to back up Aaron Ramsdale. Right now, the United States doesn't have a keeper who is a starter anywhere. In their top four or five. The only one is the 18-year-old who's playing for the Chicago Fire. And I don't know that he's going to get ahead of all these other guys. What do they do if they don't have a keeper who's getting regular time?
There's nothing they can do. It's a completely bizarre and unprecedented situation. And you can't fault any of the individuals for the career choices they've made. You can't make a career decision based on a one-month tournament that happens every 4 years, right? Matt Turner has to make this move. He has to take this chance. Obviously, just simply the training at Arsenal will be at a level that he hasn't experienced before, and which you hope would make him better. But you do need games, right? There's a diminishing returns there, right? Zach Steffen doing that for 3 years may have eroded his game. there's no answer to that. They got to desperately hope one of these guys emerges and find some time and find some form by November. And we're just going to all have to kind of wait and see how that unfolds. It's going to be a challenge for Greg Berhalter and the staff to work through that issue.
I mean,
definitely different from us, right? Like for decades, like goalie was the one spot where the U.S.
right.
was like, all right, we're good, you know? And now it's a bit different.
And like the other thing is that Ethan Horvath and Nottingham Forest just got promoted. And he's not the first choice keeper there.
He didn't start either, right?
Right. So, like, and my fear is that because England is in the same group, that these teams are going to keep our guys down. I'm obviously making
that fascinating. I hadn't thought of that.
I'm making that up, but whatever.
Little gamesmanship. That's a very CONCACAF thing to do by the English. That would be top tier gamesmanship there.
Brian Strauss, you're the best. SI.com. Yeah, you are. No.
How are we doing? How are we doing post? How's everything in Kane's country?
I'll let you know in a couple of weeks. You're the same. You and I can commiserate as our teams didn't go. Well, I guess the Capitals went about as far as maybe you expected. You guys should have won that series, dude.
Three blown leads. Yeah, I mean, it was there for the taking, but that's, you know, 2018 was the outlier for us, right? So we've reverted to form, and you know, I appreciate them perhaps freeing me from the distraction during a busy national team summer. So we'll look at it that way.
We'll talk again very soon, Brian Strauss. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Adam. All right, see you, man.
All right, believe it or not, I have one more thing for Brian Strauss, and we'll get to it in the Wall of Sound in a little bit. When we come back, Eric Compton, playing in the Rex Hospital Open up at Wakefield Country Club in North Raleigh, has a very interesting story in that he's a 2-time heart transplant recipient. We'll talk to him about that, playing at the Corn Ferry Tour, and whatever else comes up. With Eric Compton next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricane! have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcasts. Eric Compton with the Corn Ferry Tour up at TPC Wakefield. I think it's actually Wakefield Country Club now, Corn Ferry Tour. And the Rex Hospital Open will start on Thursday. First of all, welcome back to the area. I know you've been here before. You finished in the, sort of this area. You tied for second at the U.S. Open back in 2014 when Martin Keimer lapped the field. So I guess the state of North Carolina has some positive vibes for you.
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's a good reminder going into North Carolina, because when I think of Pinehurst, I think of it kind of being far away from Raleigh, but which it really isn't. So I'm actually going to hop on a plane here in a few hours and get up there, practice a little bit, and have a pro-am day tomorrow. So looking forward to playing the golf course. It's always a nice track, and people there are very warm and welcoming.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying that I want you to be in the field again next year, because we'd like it all to work out well and you get back on the PGA Tour, but it's supposed to move to Raleigh Country Club next year, which wouldn't be a bad spot to just play a casual round of golf, as it's we always joke it's an old Donald Ross design, as though there are any new Donald Ross designs. Eric Compton here. You have a very interesting story I want to spend a couple of minutes on, for those people who don't know, before we get to actual golf. A two-time heart transplant recipient. So let me just ask, how's your health right now, and how are things going?
Yeah, my health is really good right now. I'm quite a bit out on my second transplant and doing healthy. I spend a lot of time now with my daughter, who's 13, so we play a lot of golf after school. And she's getting ready to finish her exams this week, so hopefully she'll be on the road and travel with me a little this summer. But my health is good. I mean, same routine, take medication in the morning and at night, and try to get a lot of rest. So it can be challenging with the schedule, with a lot of flights and rental cars and hotels. It's always been a a juggle, but I've been doing it for such a long time, so I'm used to it by now, and hopefully I have some good golf left in me.
Eric Compton is with us here on the Adam Gold Show. You had about a 4-year run where you were on the PGA Tour, finishing the top 100 a few times in the FedEx Cup, and so you kept your card. What was different then as it is opposed to now? I see you're still hitting it out there. You're getting it out there about 300 on average, so there's enough distance there. So although that might not be very far these days, I don't know.
How much time do we have?
Hey, I got all the time for you, Eric. I got all the time for you.
Well, I mean, I think it's difficult. You know, I got my card when I was around 30, and I had played a bunch of PGA events prior to that on exemptions and things. Mm-hmm. After my second transplant, Petra was born, and I was newly married, and things were exciting. But as everybody knows, raising a family and traveling on the road, and then with my medical condition, took a big toll on me, and unfortunately, I ended up getting divorced and then dealing with not feeling that great on the road. It took a big toll on me after the U.S. Open. It was there was a lot of stuff going on off the golf course. And as you can see with a lot of the top players, 26, 27, 28, as they get married and have kids, it becomes a lot more challenging, because you're not the number one priority anymore. And it took some time to juggle. We have a beautiful daughter, and she's my number one priority. And I ended up getting remarried, and I have a beautiful stepdaughter, and she's on her way to college. So I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself and how to handle a professional career off of the golf course, and then dealing with my medical stuff. So there was a lot of stuff going on. And then the last couple of years, I feel like I've really played just as good as I did when I was on the tour. It's just that the players and everybody are better. I mean, the Korn Ferry Tour is so underrated. I mean, if you look at Scottie Scheffler asked me 2 years ago in the locker room after we played, because he knew I had a lot of experience on the tour. Mm-hmm. He said, what do you think I need to do to play on the tour? And I looked at him and I said, absolutely nothing. I said, within 18 months of you playing on the PGA Tour, based upon me playing with Tiger, Phil, Ricky Fowler, all the best players in the world, I said, I think you'll be in the top 10 in the world. And he kind of looked at me disheveled. And now he's number one in the world. And I saw him yesterday, or not yesterday, but 3 days ago at Colonial, because I played Colonial.
Right.
And so I walked up to him on the range and I said, I told you. And he kind of looked at me. And he had that look in his eye like all number one players in the world do, like almost an aloofness because they're getting bombarded. And
yeah.
And it's like, it's almost like you become possessed. And I think it's just such a fine line. The players are so good now, and you got to get in that playoff system or get a win on the Korn Ferry to get back on the PGA Tour. I just think that there's so many great players all around the world right now.
All right, before I let you go, and I don't want to run out of time before asking you this, Eric Compton is with us. Korn Ferry Tour's Rex Hospital open Thursday through Sunday at Wakefield Country Club up in North Raleigh. I'm just curious your thoughts and I don't think this is an insult, because as a professional golfer, you're among the greatest on the planet at doing what you do, but sort of a rank-and-file golfer, what are your thoughts on the LIV series and what it's setting out to do?
You know, I think that in the broad scheme of things, I think the more you give playing opportunities to people around the world, there's growth in the game. I think that's a very touchy subject, because everybody wants to look at it from and dissect different parts of the world and how the ethics of things are. But if you look at sports in general, anytime you're giving opportunities for players to play, and make a living, it's a good thing, I think, but it comes with its challenges, and I'm not one to know all the answers. I do know that the PGA Tour does a hell of a job on the PGA Tour, and I think that having played on the Korn Ferry Tour as equally as the PGA Tour, that if anything, it only enhances the opportunity for competition, for better opportunities for younger players coming out. And I think that there has been a little bit of a staleness to the feeder tour to the PGA Tour. If you compare the growth of what the PGA Tour is today as it was 20 years ago. So that has to change a little bit. I think that there's growth in every direction for all of the tours. So we'll see what happens. And unfortunately, it's going to make guys go in different directions. But I think in a whole, it's going to be better for the game.
Eric Compton, I wish you all best. I hope you do really well here in Raleigh coming up this week, and I hope we see you out on the big tour very soon. Appreciate your time. Best to you, and I hope you have a good summer with your daughter.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
It's cool to catch up there, Compton. Real quick, we recorded that yesterday. Otherwise, I would have asked for his reaction to Dustin Johnson's $125 million contract. That is stunning. Still waiting for details on that. Tomorrow on the program, Rex Hoggard of Golf Channel will have more for us about this. I know that maybe you don't think it's a big deal. It's a big deal. If you watch professional golf, this is a big, big deal. Remember, there's no salary cap for the Live Series. Mm-hmm. This will be common.
And as Averill points out on Twitter, now we know why our gas is $5 a gallon.
Ah, oh, if they were only related.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997, with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.